Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench with you. Tampa's celebrating with the Stanley Cup right now, skating around. I have to tell you, Mafia, it's too easy to sit here and question anything, I guess, watching or whatever, and like thinking that I know something. But I thought, you know, I think Victor Hedman is a great player. Do not underestimate my respect for his game. He's a monster. He's just an absolute immovable object on the ice. The guy's just a phenomenal stud of a defenseman. In fact, He's the best defenseman in the NHL, right? Like, is there anyone better? No. Who's better than him? So here's my point, is that I just don't think he, you know, personally, I don't think he deserved the Conn Smythe trophy. How can you give it to him with his 10 goals or whatever it is? Now, I know he has a lot more work to do than that, right? I get it. He plays the most minutes. He protects that end of the ice like no other. Absolutely. He's just a brick house in the zone, right? Fair enough. But you cannot question Kucherov, Point, and Palat. The numbers that they put up. Like, I mean, you were going through it, Mafia. You went through the numbers. They're staggering what Kucherov and Point and Palat did, like, compared to this guy. I mean, come on. Do you not? Are you with me or not? Would you have given it to Kucherov or Point? I would have gone, either or. And even Palat might even. Palat came up with bigger goals. He came up with bigger goals in the last 2 weeks than, forget about early round stuff. Palat's done it in the last several games that, you know, won all the games. So, you know, I don't know. I don't see it. I don't understand it. I really don't. I think that's just a respect thing they gave it to him because he's like the captain, he's the man, and all the rest. Here's Cooper with the cup. He's ecstatic. I knew they'd win it. They were the best team in hockey.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Farrell on the bench. So Kansas City ripped the Ravens tonight, 34-20. That was such a blowout. It was such a bad game. It was supposed to be this great game, and it was just Pat Mahomes just dealing on them and just humiliating them. I don't want to hear it anymore about the Ravens either, that they're world beaters, because they're obviously very beatable. I mean, no fans, fans, what's the difference? You're playing in your building. You can't on Monday Night Football on primetime with the only thing that's competing with you is a hockey game that no one cares about. And you lay that egg and you're Lamar Jackson, the MVP of the league, and he didn't do jack. And Pat Mahomes, the Super Bowl champ and previous MVP, came in there and just sliced you up like a Ginsu knife. I mean, what did he do to them? He abused them. Like, Mafia, you can't even tell me. First of all, both stories are so intriguing to me. You can give me your answer on either or. I was talking to you before about the Lightning. We talked about Hedman and everything else. But, you know, it's a huge story that they got swept out of the playoffs last year as the President's Cup winner, and that they came back with a chip on their shoulder, and then they end up winning the chip. I mean, bottom line is they kicked everyone's ass. They went, what, 4-1, 4-1, 4-2, 4-2. So that's how they did it. And they took out, you know, a lot of people thought it'd be, because I thought it'd be Vegas. And then once I saw Dallas playing Vegas, I quickly started betting on Dallas every night because you could tell they were better. And they were playing better hockey. It's really, it boils down to who plays better hockey. It's not about, oh, they're the better team, which is certain because, you know, last year Columbus wasn't a better team when they played Tampa, but they beat their ass. They just played better hockey. So my point is that I thought it'd be Vegas that played them, but I still thought Tampa would beat Vegas. I went to the game with Carver High. I saw him lose to Vegas 7-4, and I went on the air, and you'll remember it. I went on the air and said, I still think Tampa's going to win the Stanley Cup because I think they're better than Vegas, even though they lost the game. Do you remember? I said it. I said,
yeah,
they skate better. They pass better. They play better defense. They have a better goalie. They have everything. They have four lines. They are the best team in hockey far and away. They lost tonight in a 7-4 wild 11-goal game. I said, but they're better than Vegas. They're going to win the Stanley Cup. They're going to beat them if they play them in the final. Sure enough, Vegas didn't get there. Dallas beat them. But they kicked Dallas's ass.
They did. And it was really tough for Dallas to get everything they did. I mean, obviously, they had the first game because of Tampa being just gassed from the series before. Then after that, you saw when Tampa got their legs back, got their, you know, back to form, it was just pretty much them cruising from there for the most part. The 3-0 lead they got in that game two and took over. Then they were up 5-1 in game three. You know, they fought more in these last couple of games here, and it was tougher for them, you know, going to overtime, then double overtime, and then today was relatively easy, I'd say. You know, being up and cruising for most of the game, 2-0, not really getting much of a challenge from Dallas, never letting them score. So it wasn't easy, but it wasn't hard. You know, they really, once they got themselves back to where they needed to be, got their rest, they cruise. And you know, you talk about Hedman getting the MVP, and I think that was mostly because of, you know, being so rare what he did as a defenseman. It's only the third most goals ever scored by a defenseman in the playoffs. So I think that, you know, him being the third leading scorer on the team, playing all those minutes, they give him a little extra juice on that. Usually they just give it to the leading scorer. You're right. Usually it's just whoever scores the most goals or the most points is the guy who gets it. But because he played so well all around, they give it to him, three game-winning goals as well. I like the storylines of the last couple of years in the NHL. That's been great for the Cup. Is that, you know, 2 years ago you have the Washington Capitals, who for all the years, you know, President's Trophy, just like this Tampa team, couldn't break through, just keep flopping in the playoffs despite all the big names, all the, you know, hot goal scorers, all the great seasons, and they just always flopped in the playoffs, breaking through and finally winning against the, you know, the upstart Vegas Golden Knights when their first season go all the way to the Cup. Then last year, you have the Blues, who were just terrible in December, worst team in the league, all of a sudden fire the coach, turn around, come all the way back, become champs. And then this year, another team in Tampa, who, like I said, with Washington, just for years has been one of the best in the league and just could never break through and finally gets it. And guys like Hedman and Stamkos, who people were talking about being chokers like Ovi, finally get that cup, even though Stamkos did nothing in the playoffs because he was hurt. But some great storylines for champions, not just the same teams winning over and over, is awesome.
Stamkos was great all season for the Lightning. He was phenomenal. And then, you know, whatever, in March, he tore the core muscle and had surgery. So that was the end of his season. But bottom line is that if it would have started in the second week of April, he wouldn't have played in the playoffs anyway. So he almost, you know, let's face facts, like the extra time off that they canceled the season and then brought hockey back, right, for the bubbles, that was the time he needed, and he still wasn't ready. He came back and played one shift and scored a goal in game four, and then never played again. So he obviously wasn't ready to play, but I can see where they're he's clearly a big piece of that team. Stamkos is a stud. When he's healthy, he's the best player on the team. He's better than anyone. He's better than Kucherov. He's better than Braden Point. He's better than Hedman. Stamkos is the best player on the team, but he was injured, right? So he came back for 5 minutes, scored a goal, which was a story in itself. So I can see why they gave him the cup and first, and then he gave it to Hedman. So that was cool of their team to do that for him, because he means so much to the organization. And then John Cooper, great job by him after the abuse he took for getting swept last year. They took a lot of heat, and they got abused by the media and fans and everything else, and they got mocked and made fun of, and they were the butt of jokes, you name it. And then they came back with a mission, and they just absolutely, in my view, obliterated everyone. So there you go. And they win the Stanley Cup. I like watching the post-game celebration, no matter who wins the Stanley Cup. It's always fun to see people, particularly guys that have never won it, get a touch that thing for the first time ever and raise it up over their head. And then there's nothing quite like seeing the celebration in the room. They're just going to go off when they get inside that room and start drinking booze and partying. Are they not allowed to do that now because of the COVID? Are they not going to let them celebrate?
I'm sure they will. They probably have some kind of rules in effect that they're not supposed to, but you think that's going to stop them after all they've been through, you know, not just this year, but these last years trying to win it. Plus they're in a bubble. It's not like you have to worry about these guys getting each other sick. They've been isolated from everybody for months. They're fine.
Yeah. I think they should get hammered tonight. So what did you think of, at the very least, you have to give me some opinion of how bad the Chiefs kicked the Ravens' ass tonight. Now I bet on the Ravens. Fair enough. That's fine. I lose bets all the time. I didn't lose this bet, though, did I, Tampa? And I didn't lose the Heat bet Sunday night, did I, getting three as a dog against the Celtics. So I hit tons of bets. I can live with losing a football game. But what I can't live with is the feeling like one team absolutely humiliated the other team. And I've been hearing how the Ravens are the best team in, you know, the North, and they're the best team in the East. In the East Coast, without a doubt, like if you spread it nationally, right? Who's better than the Ravens? They're already, you know, the Ravens are better than the Steelers. That's what everybody says, right? That the Ravens are going to win the division easily, and that the Steelers will finish second, and that the Steelers can't beat them because, you know, the Ravens are so much better and Lamar's so much better than Ben Roethlisberger, which I also don't agree with. I think that Lamar Jackson is a great running quarterback. I think he's incredible, ankle-breaking badass. But I think Ben Roethlisberger is a better quarterback. He passes the ball better any day of the week. Any day of the week, I'll take Ben Roethlisberger throwing the football over Lamar Jackson. And then what did he do tonight throwing the football besides nothing? I do not believe that that guy, you know, last year they gave him the MVP and everybody said he could throw the football. I still don't believe he can throw the football.
Yeah, and an ultimate, you know, one that really stings for a lot of people is everyone was on that over, that 54.5 at FanDuel. They get up to that number pretty quickly early on. You know, they really big score early on. You're thinking, oh, we're cruising to this. And then, like, nothing happens in the second half. All of a sudden, they go dormant and land right at 54.
And the number was 54 and a hook?
It was 54 and a hook at FanDuel closing.
I've never been a fan of just guessing what the score of a game is going to be based on what. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, I'm going 32-18 Kansas City. Like, I mean, you know, these guys, there were so many of them. Do you remember on when I used to do SNY? Do you remember they had the show where the guy, they would never give over-unders. They'd just give the score of the game. I'm like, what's the difference? What's the difference when you're just giving out scores of games?
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pharrell on the bench. So we've been talking about the Chiefs blew out the Ravens tonight, 34-20. That's a blowout in my book. And then the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup 2-0. They beat Dallas. You got to give Dallas credit. I know it's easy to forget about the team that loses because everyone will in short order. Here's what happens. I've always believed that the team that loses, it's not always the case that they end up, you know, falling back. But like, look what happened to the Sharks when the Penguins beat them. Look what happened to the Predators when the Penguins beat them. I mean, you can say whatever you want about Vegas. Vegas, they made it to the final, right? Then they lost in what? Seven the next year in the playoffs. On a bad call, and then look what happened to them this year. Dallas kicked their ass. You can't deny that you think they're getting better, but they're actually going back. Are they not? When you're in the final, then you're not, then you're not, then you're just not. You're not getting better. You're actually going back a little bit. A lot of teams go back after they get to the finals and lose. It'll be interesting to see what happens to Dallas. Because I got to tell you, they can't stay old. I think Pavelski and Corey Perry are old guys. I think, you know, Pavelski's still got hockey left in him. Corey Perry might be another story. But they were the two most influential guys on that team for the last 2.5 weeks. I thought, and I said this today on Coast to Coast, they wouldn't even be in the Stanley Cup final if it wasn't for Pavelski. And then Corey Perry came up big. He's the one that had the double overtime winner. And he had all kinds of big goals in the playoffs that mattered for them. And the guys like Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin didn't do jack. So we'll see what happens to them. Obviously, you got to give them credit. They had a great season. They had an incredible run. They knocked off the top seed. Vegas was the best team. Everybody knew it. And they got beat by Dallas and Colorado. A lot of people thought Colorado was better than Dallas. Not the case. So everybody thought all these other teams were going to get to the final. And I thought Vegas would because that's how good they were. But they just stopped scoring goals when they played Dallas. So Dallas made it. And they had a great run, and they had a great win in game five in double overtime. I was surprised. I thought, not only did I think Tampa was going to win that game, I couldn't believe they gave up the lead and then lost in double overtime. But another guy I'm happy for is Coleman. He played for the Devils. Of course, the Devils traded him to Tampa. The guy goes down there and wins the Stanley Cup. He was there for 4 months, whatever it was, playing with him. So, you know, I just think it's crazy. So they reached the Stanley Cup final in 2014-15, lost 4-2, reached the conference finals in the next year, lost 4-3, reached the conference final the next year, lost 4-3. Then the year after that, they won the President's Trophy and swept in the first round. They've had their fair share of failures, the Lightning, and problems. They led in every series and lost. And they 4 years in a row, they lost. And then this year they win the Stanley Cup. So They paid the price mentally, physically, financially. They just knew they had to get the right pieces in place, and they did it, and they finally won the Stanley Cup. I got to tell you, they were the best team, hands down, anywhere. It didn't matter what team I saw play. They couldn't keep up with them. They couldn't skate with them. They couldn't pass with them. They were great defensively. They were great in goal. They had an incredible power play. They had a great PK, penalty kill. They did everything right. I called them the Russian Blue Army. That's what they were. They reminded me of the Russian Red Army, the way they skated and jumped over the line and just cycled and skated and just skated circles around everybody. I just thought they were so much faster, so much better. The way they tape-to-tape pass, the way they play as a team, they were just head and shoulders, dandruff over everybody else. I mean, to tell you, they stood out like a sore thumb to me. They were the best team. So I think the best team, the cream always rises, if you ask me. And then, you know, last year, the Blues were the best team from January 1 on. They were the best team. So it's the same story. It's just a different song. The best team usually always gets it done, whether it's that they were the best team in the season or they were the best team over the 2.5 months that they play the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's who's the hottest, best team in the moment when they get to the tournament in the second season, which is the Stanley Cup season. And you can say whatever you want. Basketball is the same way. You know, you get in and then you see what happens. But in basketball, you got to admit, it really is, right? Like mostly, you know, those 1-8 matches, they get killed. They get killed, those lower seeds. In hockey, I've seen the 8 seed win the Stanley Cup, right? So it's different in hockey. It really is. It's different in the sense of I don't think really low-seeded teams win the Stanley Cup. I think the best teams rise to the top and win the Stanley Cup. But it's no different than, let's face it, anymore in sports, if you're not a high seed, you have very little chance at the end of the day. Same thing in the NCAA basketball tournament, right? The high seeds are always the ones in the Final Four, right? They'll have, you know, the Final Four, you know, in my opinion, 3 out of 4 of them are, you know, 1, 2, or a 3 seed, right? Pretty much. I mean, is that not about right? I think it is. And then how many times have we seen the 1 against the 2 or the 1 against the 1 or, you know, or the top 4 seeds or all, you know what I mean? So you don't see these, you know, 12, 14, you know, once in a blue moon, you'll see one get into the Final Four. But for the most part, am I wrong? They don't win it. So I think in hockey, the cream rises. And they were the best. Here they are partying in the locker room. They're spraying champagne. They're drinking and thinking they own it. Came in and spending, laughing and hurling and turning. They got Stanley Cup and they're all going crazy, spraying booze. The whole team is drinking heavily. Shot of beer, rimbin' an iron, 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 shot of beer, puke. Oh, they're chugging champagne right now, son. They got it all going. Beer, champagne, whiskey. It's all getting unglued in the Tampa locker room at the Rogers Center in Edmonton for Alberta. There you go. Conn Smythe winner, Victor Hedman. And the Tampa Bay Lightning getting the Stanley Cup. The best trophy in sports, bar none, right? It really is. It's something else, that cup, that chalice of love. Spit shine your shoes. We're going dancing with Lord Stanley. There's nothing like it. My team, the Penguins, have won 5 Stanley Cups. It's the greatest feeling in the world when they win it. I got to tell you, though, when I saw the Penguins win it, you know, back-to-back against the Sharks and Predators recently, their locker room was a lot rowdy. This one, I don't know if you're watching this, Mafia, but they're pretty calm in there. They're taking team photos or something right now, and they're not, like, going crazy. They're spraying a little bit. They're spraying now, but when the Penguins won it, I mean, it was just like, I mean, you can't even imagine. It was like you would have thought a fire truck was in there. You would have thought a fire hose was spraying them. There was so much booze going across the room. I mean, they partied the Penguins like, I mean, you would have thought they were at an orgy, like in a strip club, because there was so much just chaos and booze and just spraying and laughing and craziness. Like, I'm not seeing that right now. They're just kind of sipping champagne and spraying a little. I give their spray celebration a 2 out of 10, Mafia. Are you watching this?
I'm not watching it. I mean, it's going to be a different energy completely with being in the bubble for these couple of months here. It's not like, you know, where you have all the fans, you're going crazy. It's the way it was broken up, then staying all isolated like this, then going from one isolated bubble to the other. Got to be a completely different feeling, but still, you know, you're excited, you're happy, you're one, but it's not the same, I'm sure.
Well, it isn't, because their celebration sucks. I'm just watching it and it's pretty lame. I got to tell you.
Probably so exhausted at this point with the season dragging on as long as it did.
No. That's not gonna cut it for me. Because, like, every team that wins the Stanley Cup has to win 16 games, and they all go through it, and they look like Grizzly Adams when it's over. Their beards are hanging low, and they're all beat up and injured and dead tired. And then some team – do you remember when the Capitals won the Stanley Cup, how much booze? I mean, your boy Ovi ended up naked in a fountain. I mean, come on, bro. I mean, they partied like rock stars, and these guys are partying. I give them a 2 out of 10. Soft celebration. So that the game five double overtime game was certainly a lot better than this game tonight. I mean, this game tonight was all Tampa, 2-0. I mean, it was 2-0 after two, and they just shut them down. They couldn't even get a good chance with the empty net with an extra attacker. It just didn't matter. Tampa just clamped down on them and beat their ass. So that was that. I never really got a chance today to talk about anything that happened really in college football. We talked about it a little bit, right? But there were some unbelievable games that, you know, I thought should be worth mentioning. We did mention them on Coast to Coast, the Kansas State comeback win to beat Oklahoma. That was huge. I think the fallout from that is I want to see what happens to Oklahoma moving forward in terms of the playoff. Because if there's anything that happens in life, it's that Oklahoma ends up in the playoff. Is that not about right? What, have they been to 3 in a row? I mean, they just are always in it. And the fact that they got beat by Kansas State again, remember last year they lost to them and they still got in it. So I don't want Oklahoma in the playoff. How's that sound? You know, how do you lose to Kansas State and still get in it? And then what, lose to them again this year? You're going to put them back in it? They do not deserve to be in the college football playoff. In my opinion, if there's teams that don't lose one game and you lose to Kansas State, is that not, I mean, Mafia, come on. Now it's one thing to lose to your rival or to Texas or, you know, to lose a championship game in the Big 12 or something like that. But to lose to Kansas State 2 years in a row and you still make the playoff, and then this year they lose to them again, they're going to make the playoff again. I don't want them anywhere near that playoff.
If they went out, they'll put them in again because they'll explain it away. It's not about, you know, if you lose, it's about when you lose with these teams that they love, like Oklahoma, Alabama. If you lose early enough or it's a big enough opponent, then they can explain it away. So they'll say, oh, well, you know what? You know, it's everything going on with COVID. They really didn't get to practice much. So that first game, you know, that just happens. And then, you know, if they blow everybody else out by 40, they'll just say that game was just not who they really are. They'll explain it away. They love it. Oklahoma, Alabama, you know, Clemson, teams like that, Ohio State, they will do everything they can to get them in.
Did you see, I mentioned today on the show, Jerry Palm thinks Oregon's getting in. They haven't even played a game yet. He's got them in the playoff.
Oh, yeah, right. You could have four of the five power five conferences and not play, and they still won't put the Pac-12 in.
Florida beat Ole Miss 51-35. Auburn got by Kentucky 29-13. I was watching College Game Day. They all picked Kentucky to beat Auburn. I was on Auburn. Central Florida keeps putting up big numbers, 51-28 over East Carolina. Louisiana beat Georgia Southern 20-18. I hit that game both ways. Georgia Southern covered. That Pitt team's unbeaten. They beat Louisville 23-20. Syracuse, I gave you over Georgia Tech. They won outright 37-20. I told you Georgia Tech was posers. Appalachian State blew out Campbell 52-21. Liberty by two over Florida International. It's funny that FAU and FIU have both been pretty tough the last couple of years. Iowa State beat TCU down in Fort Worth. Tulane rolled Southern Miss. I hit that game 66-24. Mississippi State beating LSU was the big game of the day. The kid, Costello from Stanford, that plays for Leach now at Mississippi State, threw for 623 yards. It may have been the best performance I've ever seen by a college quarterback in my life. Like, what kid have you ever seen throw for 623 yards in a college football game? In a big game against LSU?
Right. In the SEC.
At the Bayou.
That'll never work in big conferences, right? It's only the crazy Pac-12 and smaller conferences that are ready to work. He'll never be able to have that success in the SEC. Yeah. First game out looks pretty damn good, right? Yeah, I mean, had guys like Cam Newton roll through, and he just set a record in his first game.
But that guy, have you ever seen in an SEC game anyone ever even come close to doing what he did? I don't remember anyone ever doing that. You know what I mean?
No, like either. That conference doesn't do that.
He went to Baton Rouge and lit them up. Now, remember, I've said on the show a million times, LSU, every single kid on the team went to the NFL. This is not the national championship LSU Tigers. This is a very young, brand new, recruiting, start-over football team, and they looked like it. They couldn't stop anything. I mean, that team last year that won the national championship with Burrow, they wouldn't have let this guy throw for 200 yards. Seriously, he wouldn't have thrown for 200 against them. That's how good they were last year. They're not anywhere near that this year, that's for sure. Texas in overtime beat Texas Tech. I watched that game. Ellinger was unbelievable. 63-56. They came back to win that game. They had no business winning that game, but they did. It was great. I watched the game. It was a great game. Tim Brando, our buddy, the governor, he called it with Spencer Tillman. It was the game of the day. It was fantastic. Cincinnati beat Army 24-10. Oklahoma State over West Virginia 27-13. I thought that game would be a little closer. Almost was. I think they were laying like 7. And then UTEP blew out Monroe 31-6. Georgia 37-10 over Arkansas. Believe me, that score was not indicative of that game. Georgia changed quarterbacks like 3 times, and they had a big second half with turnovers. That's how they won that game, 37-10. They have Auburn in Athens between the hedges on Saturday, this upcoming Saturday. I think Auburn's going to give them a game. We'll see if JT Daniels looks like he's going to start, though. From what I'm hearing, he's been cleared. And if your 3 quarterbacks were so terrible for Georgia this past week against Arkansas, why wouldn't you start JT Daniels, frankly, immediately? Virginia blew out Duke by 18, BC by 3 over Texas State, Alabama 38-19 over Missouri. Louisiana Tech ripped Houston Baptist 66-38. SMU 50-7 over Stephen F. Austin. A&M beat Vandy 17-12. And then Miami, I watched the Canes. Man, did they obliterate Florida State. They beat that ass. 52-10 was the final. Canes are moving up in the polls. De'Ara King has been unbelievable. He threw for 2 TD passes, 267 yards in 3 quarters. He only played 3 quarters. The guy went off. He's been a big difference for the Miami Canes. They look fantastic all of a sudden. We'll see if they can keep it going. They're playing Clemson in a couple weeks. I think next week. Tennessee beat South Carolina by 4. The number was 3.5. I had Tennessee winning and South Carolina plus 3.5, and they lost by 4. Baylor beat Kansas ass 47-14. I hit that. Vatech, how about Vatech spanked NC State 45-24. Their whole team had COVID, and they started a bunch of kids that never play, and they still kicked their ass. BYU ripped Troy 48-7. Everything else was postponed. Notre Dame, Wake, Georgia State, Charlotte, Tulsa, Arkansas State, USF, FAU, and North Texas, Houston. Houston hasn't been able to play a game. They've had like 4 or 5 games, you know, postponed, which is crazy. And now there you have it. Notre Dame had a bunch of other tests today come back positive. They got like 18 cases of COVID on the Notre Dame team. I mean, I think they're actually off this week. Notre Dame's not playing. Their next game is, I think, next week. I could be wrong, but they're not playing this week. And I don't even think they could play this week. They got so many guys on the team with COVID. So that was crazy. But I'm enjoying it. Listen, I'm trying to stay positive about college football, right? All these conferences are playing now. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 are going to play. The MAC's going to play. The Mountain West's going to play. They're all going to play. So a lot of conferences are playing, right? And when I'm watching games on Saturday and I'm getting into college football, I'm not sitting there thinking about COVID. I'm not. I'm just like, this is great. College football, let's go. I watched that Mississippi State LSU game. I watched the Texas Tech game. I had them both going at the same time, and it was fantastic. And I never thought for 1 minute that I was in, you know, COVIDville. I thought I was watching college football, and it was awesome. So late in the day on Sunday night, I got hot with the, you know, Packer win Sunday night. The Seahawks win over the Cowboys 38-31. They got that late score and covered the 4. I hit the Lions winning at Arizona. That was huge. They were getting 5.5. They won outright. I hit the Bucks over the Broncos. I had the Panthers spread. I hit that. I was going crazy in the late games, but then I lost tonight because I thought the Ravens would give the Chiefs a game. And so that's that. I guess I learned my lesson the hard way. Don't bet against Mahomes. Now, they're playing, unless I'm mistaken, they're playing the Patriots this Sunday at Arrowhead. Do you think that Cam Newton will fare better against Pat Mahomes than Lamar Jackson did? Or do you think the Chiefs are going to spank the Patriots? I think the Patriots might be in trouble in this game, Mafia.
They could be in trouble, but I think Cam Newton will do a lot better than Lamar Jackson did, especially stat-wise. Maybe, you know, they still might lose by double digits, but I think he'll put on a better performance because he's dual threat. He's shown already this season that the shoulder's back. He can run still. He could throw it. They could run just straight with running backs like they did yesterday where they're just pounding the ball. That offense is much more dynamic, and they can change things on the fly and go many different ways, unlike Baltimore, who's very run-heavy and doesn't, you know, isn't able to just sling it all around the field. I think Cam can do that. He'll be more exciting next week and make it a better game.
Well, the Falcons blew another game. Now they're playing the Packers on, I think, Sunday night, right? Isn't that, I think, yeah, it's pretty much the Sunday night game. They're playing at Lambeau. What do you think will happen to them? Is it Monday night?
Yeah, because Sunday night's the Eagles and 49ers.
Oh, you're right. Thursday, so Monday night.
That's a number. Just a terrible week of games between the you know, the national games are all terrible, and there's a bunch of games where there's going to be blowouts this week too.
So the Sunday night game is Niners, Eagles, and Monday night is Packers and Falcons.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so what is the? I'm pretty sure too. I have it right in front of me. Maybe I should just look at it right now. It's Monday night. It's the Packers against the Falcons. What do you think will happen to the Falcons in that game?
Slaughter, mercy rule by halftime.
I mean, can you even believe that guy still has his job?
If Aaron Rodgers has destroyed Drew Brees and the Saints on the road, what do you think he's going to do to the hapless, to that team? That team can't do anything. If he can beat the good teams and slaughter them, he's going to just school them completely.
How bad is their defense? It's like wet paper.
It's awful. It's Chardonnay. People, not Chardonnay, Charmin. People just go right through that if they want, you know? It doesn't matter.
Hey, Chardonnay. It is Chardonnay because Chardonnay is soft. It's like
watching it play.
Isn't Chardonnay like a soft pink?
Yes.
All right, so anyway, I can't keep track of what you're saying to me even at this point, Mafia. I don't even know. How much time do I got left? All right, there you go. That helps. I like just coming right out with it. I can't handle all these little, you know, whispers you say to me on TV and radio anymore. I can't even tell. I don't even know why I listen to it. I should just say every time, how much time's left? Because I sit there on TV and I show my watch to the control room in Kansas City. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. Can't follow any of it. I'm under so much stress. Don't forget, tomorrow, 4 baseball playoff games. That's it. The NBA Finals start on Wednesday night. Lakers and Heat, game 1. So tomorrow is 4 games, and the featured game at night is the Yankees and Indians, Cole against Bieber. All right, sorry I didn't get your calls. Tomorrow night, call earlier, and we'll get you on. I know some people tried to call in, and it was too late after all the chaos. Tampa wins the Stanley Cup. The Chiefs kick the Ravens' ass. Sports Rage is next. The Lightning dominated that game tonight. I thought they dominated the series. I thought they dominated the NHL this year, to be honest with you. I've been riding them all year. I went and saw them live in Vegas, and they are just head and shoulders above everyone. I really believe that on every facet of the game. And I thought Mahomes just shredded Lamar Jackson tonight in the Ravens. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, you know what? Good for John Cooper. He's a good coach. He's a great coach. Tampa's done everything over the years except win the Stanley Cup, of course, going back all the way to 2004. And, you know, listen, it was a hell of a ride for the Dallas Stars. But ultimately, I don't know if they just ran out of gas after winning the game the other night. Back-to-back overtime games. They were just flat coming out. You know, they, as you stated, they were overwhelmed. Tampa wasn't screwing around tonight. Tampa wasn't letting this thing go to 7 games. And, you know, another game goes out of the number. And as far as the Ravens are concerned, I don't know, man. The Ravens, to me, are like the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, they're sort of front runners. They'll beat up on bad teams. But when you actually break down their roster, like, really, you're not going to win. I get it, Lamar Jackson's fast, man, but you know, like you've got Marquise Brown, you've got Mark Andrews. It's just not good enough. Let's just be real. It's just not good enough. They can't throw the football. It's not just Lamar Jackson. It's like, who does he have to throw it to?
Yeah, did you see that guy, the big tight end, drop the ball in the end zone, and he came up limping? And like, I was like, he doesn't even have hands, this guy. I just thought that game was embarrassing. All right, Morenzi's next with Sports Radio. I'll see you guys tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 p.m. Eastern. Good night, everybody.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.